How's it going? Like I said, my name is Garrison Price. I'm a resident here. I've been working with junior high for the past few months or a couple months now. And so hopefully y'all have known who I am. If I'm doing well at my job, y'all would know who I am. But anyways, so a little bit about me. I want to open this up with a story before I get into my talk. And this kind of reveals a little bit about me and a bit of my background. When I was a freshman in college, I went to Dallas Baptist University. Go Patriots. Get your guns up. When I was a freshman there, I came from Nashville, Tennessee, to DBU and, came to play college baseball. So I went to play college baseball at DBU and, great program, great coaches, great players. It was a lot of fun. I didn't touch the field, so, just letting y'all know that. But anyway, so I redshirted that year, which means I got to save a year of eligibility. And just practiced and practiced with the team and got better, got to train. And it was a great year of learning. Anyways, on road trips, I caught bullpens. I was a catcher, right? So they would take me on road trips. I was a third string catcher, baby. Come on. And I would go on road trips and would catch bullpens, which means I'd warm up the pitchers before they go into the game, right? So I got to fly, got to go to California, New Mexico, if that was worth seeing, and other places, like that. And so I'd travel, and we would get stipends when I was on the road, right? So we would get a little envelope of cash, each player, just to provide for meals, okay? So they'd give us a little money on road trips, spring break, winter break, stuff like that. They would provide that for us, okay? So we'd get a stipend. We'd go to the nicest restaurants. It was crazy. I mean, my mom, you know, growing up, made all of our meals. I'd always tell her best cook east of the Mississippi. And it's cheesy. But anyway, so I was spoiled with great food. But then we go to DBU, we get to go to these sweet, awesome restaurants, right? I mean, anytime we went down to Waco to play Baylor, we went to this nice barbecue, like their favorite barbecue place down there. I don't know what it was. But we'd do that, right? And so we were spoiled. Okay, we were spoiled. On the road, we get this stipend that the team would then end up paying for all of our meals. So a lot of the guys would pocket the cash that we'd give and buy shoes and other things. I paid tuition with mine, because no scholarship money was coming my way. Anyways, so I transfer, right? I gotta hurry with the story. So then I transfer to Bryan College in the middle of nowhere in Tennessee, right? And 35 miles north of Chattanooga. I'm transferred there for scholarship. And to help my parents financially, to be closer to home. I wanted my family to watch me play. So I transfer there. And let's just picture DBU, right, with these things I was just saying. Baseball, it was the only Division I team on campus. We were spoiled. We were privileged to be able to play the game and also have the nicest facilities out there. And then I go to Bryan, and just it was a big difference, right? And middle of nowhere, and just realized quickly, okay, it's a big difference here. And so, for instance, we went on our first road trip, okay, our first road trip. And remember what I talked about, these restaurants that we go to, right, and these nice places that we'd go. On road trips, we'd even get cash. So we go to this place called Georgia Gwinnett, okay, and they're the number two team in the country. They have like 8 Division I players that transferred there. Their Friday night pitcher was a guy from Auburn, SEC. I mean, he was a stud, okay. We go down there, our first road trip of the year, my first road trip with this new team. I'm getting to play. I'm pumped. We go down there, and we beat them the game one, right? So, I mean, we are thrilled. We're pumped. We get in the bus after the game, and my coach is at the front of the bus and looks back at all of us and says, and we, you know, everybody kind of files in. We all sit down. We're kind of pumped. And then out of nowhere, he goes, "That's what I'm talking about." And the whole bus just goes crazy. Music's blaring. We're going crazy. The bus is probably shaking in the park. We haven't gotten out of the parking lot. And he says, "Man, I'm treating y'all out tonight. I'm treating y'all out." And I'm like, "Oh, baby, come on." Like, I'm so excited. I can't wait. We're about to eat so well. We're in North Atlanta. The options are endless, right? So we go, and there's this place with a bunch of restaurants, like this exit, right? And I see to my right, we're saying Jim and Nick's, which you'll probably don't know what that is. My favorite barbecue place. It's kind of like a Rudy's here in Texas, but it's in Tennessee and Southeast. So Jim and Nick's and any restaurant you can think of to my right. I'm like, "Oh, baby, come on." Right? Chick-fil-A, everything y'all love. What a burger's not there. But anyways, all these great places, Chick-fil-A, McDonald's. And so that's all on our right. And I'm like, "Here we go, man. Here we go." And at DBU, we would get $15 limit at our meals. So we get to spend $15, whatever we wanted, right? And so I got to eat well there. So we pull up into this place, and he's about to turn right. And I promise you not, this bus driver swerved us. He's going to the right and about to turn in, and then turned left. And guess where he pulls into? Golden Corral. It's the Golden Corral. $9 buffet with a cup of water, baby. So come on. So we go into Golden Corral, and I'm in the back like, oh my gosh. Shocker. I mean, just like, spoiler alert. I'm telling you, I was completely shocked. And oh my God, all my teammates, I'm sitting there in disbelief. All my teammates are like, yeah, baby, Golden Corral. And I'm like, wait, what? And I mean, so when we lost, we'd get $4 limit to McDonald's. Like, that's how bad it was. So anyways, we go to Golden Corral, and I'm in the back, and I start voicing complaints. I start voicing like, are you kidding me? Golden Corral? Out of all the places? And I mean, rightfully, you know, right? It's not the best of food. But at the same time, I start voicing that. And then the other guys start to question themselves. Like, wait a minute. Is it actually bad? Like, is this not a treat for us? Right? And I, like, again, this was my first road trip. So I had no idea. And so then I begin to question, I begin to complain, and people, it spread throughout the bus. Does that make sense? So then there was criticism of like, oh man, G's not thankful. G kind of does his own thing. He's not thankful for this. He's kind of entitled, right? I had to ask forgiveness. I had to beg forgiveness for that. Because then I realized I'm thankful that the Lord revealed that to me and saying, hey man, what are you doing? Look at what you're saying and how it's affecting those of your teammates. Even your bus. After a night you should be celebrating, you are criticizing. You are complaining. And so guys, this morning I want to talk to us about continuing this series of Taming Tongues. 2 weeks ago we heard Ben give a great talk on language. Bron continue this series last week. And the common theme of what comes in goes out, right? Always, always comes out. So tonight, or this morning, not tonight, it's, here we go, 9:50. So this morning, I want to talk about complaining. And truly, that's the same here. It's a common theme that even what we bring in is going to come out. And so we're going to start with scripture. Philippians 2, 14 through 16 says, do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life, and then it continues on. And so, guys, I want to talk about that this morning. Look, Paul's saying, hey, don't do anything. You have nothing. Here we go. You have nothing to complain about. I am the God. I am your Lord. I am your Father. I have saved you. And Paul's saying, hey, we have nothing to complain about. Listen, a complaining heart does not shine like a light. I don't know about you. If we are made in God's image, we should reflect him, right? We should reflect our Father and our Creator. But complaint reflects something completely different. You see, somebody thankful reflects Christ. Somebody thankful reflects that, hey, I have a maker in heaven, that what he's given me, I am thankful for. I trust in him that my circumstances will not change where I stand on solid ground. That I'm thankful and therefore be bringing in thanks and bringing in the Lord, letting the Lord speak to me who I am, comes out. And that's what Paul is saying here. Do nothing with complaining and arguing. So we're going to get to the root of this. Man, what is complaining? What is this? I swear we complain about everything these days. I remember getting mad at my mom when growing up. I used to call myself Grill Master Flex. I used to grill, and like even in eighth grade, I'd beg dad to let me grill. Like, mow the lawn and grill. I thought that was what it was to be a man. Like, that's the pinnacle, baby. And so dad would let me grill, right? And I was starting in eighth grade, and I was awful. I was so bad. It was either burnt or completely raw. And then finally I started to get better, but my mom was really picky about her food. She wants it well done. And dad and I are like, man, I like medium rare, medium and on anything, right? So I'd bring in food, and I was so excited. I would be so excited. And bring in the food. I'm like, yeah, man, another episode, you know what I'm saying, of Grill Master Flex, and come in. And she would be like, it's not done. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Mom? Look at this. Like, it looks amazing. It's not cooked all the way through. And I remember just and just going back to the grill, back and forth, right? And so we complain. I'm not saying, I actually said that to my mom. Mom, I feel like you complain a lot. Worst decision. Don't ever say that to your mom, ever. So anyways, a dumb example. But we complain about everything. I feel like we complain about we don't have the nicest shoes. We don't have the new iPhone bazillion, whatever it's on now. We didn't get enough Chick-fil-A sauce with that sandwich right here in the front row. Everything, right? Everything is a complaint. When was the last time we said thank you to our parents for driving us to school? When was the last time? Yeah, maybe we do a great job of that. I don't know. Maybe when's the last time that we replaced complaints with thankfulness? And so that's what we're going to go into, right? And so quick story in Scripture, right? We're going to look at how this applies to us and in the history of mankind generally. And so Adam, right, in Genesis chapter 3, complaining starts from the beginning. Complaint in this spirit of discontent began in the beginning when Adam blames God for making Eve to make him sin. How sad is that, right? So it started, and it began a trend of not only pride, passivity, blame, but complaint. Adam's saying, are you kidding me, God? You made that? Like, you made this woman, and she made me sin. And then we see this, right? In Exodus chapter 16, okay, we see this. So the backstory, how many of y'all know the story of Moses, right, splitting the Red Sea? Everybody? Quite a few? Okay, so Moses, right, God uses this man named Moses to rescue the Israelites from slavery, from bondage, okay, 400 years, okay? They're in slavery, they're in bondage of the Egyptians. God uses one man to help rescue them. He splits the Red Sea so that they walk on dry ground, a whole sea, and they're walking on dry ground, okay? So there's a trend. God continues to show himself. Hey, I have chosen you as my people. I have chosen you, the Israelites. Okay, so Exodus 16, they have a food problem. All right? So they're like, hey, man, we're hungry. Are you kidding me? And they begin to complain right there in verse 2 in chapter 16. Verse 2 and verse 3, they begin to complain. God, are you kidding me? Not even a few chapters removed. Days removed from when they crossed the Red Sea and are rescued from bondage, they begin to complain. Why would you rescue us, God? Why would you rescue us, Moses? Are you kidding me? I'd rather be in bondage. Listen to these words. I'd rather be in bondage there in Egypt because we had the finest breads there. We had fruits. We were provided for. Because that one day they may be feeling a little hunger in their stomach, immediately began to complain. And it begins this trend, right? Just like I said, from Adam, and it just trickles down. Numbers chapter 14, story continues. Same group of people, same Israelites, same leader in Moses, okay? So what happens is God has promised these people after rescuing them, he says, hey, I'm going to give you a promised land. I have a promised land waiting on you. I've promised you something greater than this. While you're waiting, I promise I'm preparing it for you. I'm preparing it for this very day. And yet the Israelites are like, why are we wandering? Why? We're impatient. And all this complaining to God. And what happens is Moses, right, their leader, sends 10 spies into the promised land, okay? 10 spies. He sends these men into the promised land just to scout. They come back, and two men, okay, two of the 10, Joshua and Caleb, come back and say, y'all can't believe this place. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's crazy. So much land, all for us. God is on our side. He has rescued us. He has set this aside for us. Trust me, what we've been doing is nothing in comparison to this. He has rescued us and now saved us through this land. And yet the other eight focus on the negative. The other eight see the giants in the land. The other eight see the enemies that they don't think God can overcome, even though God has already rescued them from the prime domain or the prime empire of that time in Egypt. He rescued them from the baddest of bad dudes in Egypt. And yet here are a couple tribes in this new land that they don't trust that God can rescue them from or clear them out for their new land. And so what happens is these eight men say, hey, I'm scared. I'm fearful. We should be fearful of this. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how he's going to do this. And what happens is those eight men and their fear and their words damage and affect millions, the rest of the tribe of Israel. Then it becomes worry. And here they go again. Why'd you rescue us from Egypt? Hey, let us rise up and get a new leader. Forget this Moses guy. Forget the man that the Lord has ordained to rescue us. And what happens is these eight men out of a millions of people in Israel, I mean, they had grown to this nation. And eight men's complaints, eight men's fear affected all of them. And they continue to turn their face away from God. And so, man, Garrison, why are we talking about this Old Testament? How does that apply to today? Why are we talking about Old Testament, man? What is this? Listen, I think that complaint, there's roots in complaint. I think here we see that the Israelites, their complaint was rooted in entitlement. I think it was rooted in fear. It was rooted in discontent. And I want to focus on that, right? So the Greek word translated complainer means literally one who is discontent with his lot in life. Literally hand in hand with grumbler. Somebody that is discontent with his lot, what he owns, with what he has, where his feet are at this moment. Somebody that is discontent, meaning, hey, I'm the furthest thing from content. I think that I can make myself happy, and I think that I know what I need to be successful. There's a discontentment because we are away for our only source of true contentment and satisfaction. And we see that in that scripture. We see that in that story. So where does this come from? Why do we complain? Notice that they begin to grumble, right? And what happens is their complaint is not only to Moses, what most important is to God, saying, God, you cannot provide for us. What they do is they lost faith. They lost remembrance of what God had done for them year in and year out, these past couple years, right? When they're wondering, they forgot what God had been doing to them, that he rescued them from slavery. And not only days apart, they begin to complain and forget. And so I think it's deeper than this, that their complaining is actually complaint to God. And I think that's where we're at today. You see, people are more prone to complain when we do. Just like me in my bus, right, at Golden Corral. Because it's still funny to me. And when I'm sitting there and complaining, the guys around me began to question, oh, wait, really? And it breaks my heart to think that I affected them in that way negatively. I had to ask forgiveness. But just like that, we see that in the story of the Israelites, that these eight men affected a whole nation. People are more prone to complain when we do. What is coming in has to come out and always will. You see, a complaining tongue reveals a discontent heart. And so our words will always, always reveal what is truly going on in our hearts. So what is that going on in our hearts? I said that our complaining is a reflection of a confusion in our heart. It's a discontentment, right? It's rooted in entitlement. And I want to talk about that. Hey, listen, this is not a message of doom. This is not a message of, man, we stink. We complain all the time. We stink. Our whole people, we're doomed. Mankind is doomed to complain the rest of our days. Listen, that can stop this morning. That can stop right here before you leave these doors. And let's talk about three ways that we can uproot this discontent. Three ways we can uproot this entitled heart. Three ways that we can uproot a complaining tongue. So I'm going to use three T's, all right? Where do we go from here? I'm going to use three T's to uproot these things, right? So the first is title. So entitlement, right? Entitlement saying, hey, I have a right to something. I have a right to this. Entitlement says, hey, you know what? I deserve this. And I felt entitled. I was entitled coming from Dallas Baptist to Brian saying, are you kidding me? Look at what I had. I don't have this now? Are you serious? How bad is that? How sickening is that? You see, entitled, title is the root word of this entitlement word. But listen, what God's saying is, hey, that does not define you. Your title cannot be in this complaining heart. Your title cannot be in entitlement. Your title is what I have said to you, who you are. You see, instead of complainer, instead of unthankful, instead of all these other words that can define us if we let it, God's saying, no, you are a chosen son and daughter of God. You are my people. God's trying to remind the Israelites in that story, you are my people. I continue to show myself day in and day out. I've rescued you. You are redeemed. If you are a follower of Christ, you are redeemed. You are saved. You have an eternal life. You are saved through Christ. God says, you know what? I love you so much. You are beloved. You are beloved. I love you so much that I'm sending my son, my only son, to die for you. Let that be your title and not our entitlement. God titled us through Christ and what Christ did on the cross. Second, as I quickly finish up, second is trust. How do we uproot this discontent heart? We got to trust. How do we uproot this fearful heart? We got to trust that the Lord has the very best in store for us, that the Lord has our good in mind, that God has created us to succeed and live abundant lives. And that's what he's trying to do for these Israelites. He's saying, look, I have brought you from bondage to life. I have brought you from death to life. Literally, you are going to die. Your people are dying in Egypt. And yet I have a new promised land for you. And instead of trusting, they fear, but not today, not for us. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, I know it's a really well-known verse. Some people use it a lot. It's very well-known. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. And then Romans 8, 28, right, the next verse that we have. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose for them. Let that be our trust. Let our trust be in the Lord and not what the world says, hey, this is what you need to be cool. This is what you don't have. Right? I could say another thing, complaining reveals a comparing heart that we like to compare, right? When we complain, we are comparing ourselves to others, saying, what I have is not good enough. And I don't know about y'all, I'm sick of living that way. I'm tired of comparing. I'm tired of living in discontentment when I know that the Lord has so much greater for me. And I hope we're all there this morning. And so guys, like I said, let the Lord title you. Let the Lord identify who you are in him. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding like the Israelites wanted to do. And say, hey, we want to raise up ourselves a new leader. What you have, God, is not good enough for me. And we say that this morning. We say that all the time when we complain. Where the Lord has placed us is not good enough for me. I'm not satisfied. I think that I make the decisions where I find my happiness. I think that I honestly, this is what the scary thing is. We put ourselves in place of God when we say, hey, God, you are no longer, or above God, you are no longer good enough for me. You have not fulfilled me. And so third, as I close, thanksgiving, thankfulness, being thankful for what we have, being content in Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances, not in the good, not in the bad, not in the mundane of every day, all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And so as I close, guys, I'm going to put up a funny picture. I don't know if any of y'all remember, most of the guys probably will, but Marshawn Lynch, any of y'all know him, right? So I wanted to show the clip of his interview of him just responding for 2 minutes long, literally, of saying, I'm thankful, to about 20 different questions from reporters after about, he's a running back now with the Oakland Raiders in the NFL. And all he responds with is, I'm thankful, right? I'm thankful. And I know that's a cheesy way of saying that, but honestly, guys, honestly, I know that's a cheesy way to finish and to close with saying, hey, have a thankful heart. And I wanted to connect us in a little way like that, but seriously, there it is. I'm thankful. That's all he responds with for a whole interview. But that's, man, when was the last time we were truly thankful for everything going on in our lives, for where the Lord has placed us today? For where with our family, with our friends. I challenge you to write a list. I know at Thanksgiving, I'm sure my mom loves holidays. My mom literally makes us do all these little things. And she would make us write a list of names or a list of things what you're thankful for every Thanksgiving. I challenge you to do that today. Write down a list. What are you thankful for? And when was the last time you told that or whatever, you responded to that thing on that list, whether it's your family, friends, your house, your food that's on your table. When have you actually said thanks? When was the last time? And I encourage you to do that. And so go around today. I know last week we challenged you to say, hey, encourage 10 people. Encourage. Watch your language. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I challenge you this morning to go and say thank you and be thankful for those things on that list that you make. Let me pray for us. Father God, God, you love us and you have identified us. You have titled us as your sons and daughters. May we remember that, Father. May we not rely on a spirit of fear or timidity, Father. May we trust in you and not lean on our own understanding. God, give us a spirit of title, knowing that, Father, that you have titled us, that we trust in you and that we are thankful, Father. May we not turn our face away from you like the Israelites do, and we do so often. May it stop here today, Father, and watch our mouths. May we control what we're putting in so that it comes out and actually brings life and light to others. We love you so much, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.